Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into Tyrion 10 of A Storm of Swords. Tyrion not having the best of go-abouts at the end of this book, but it's definitely still fun to read. We're also going to be talking about Duncan Egg, which comes out in 11 days?
2 weeks, yeah. So this is actually kind of, man, the little... have to take a break as we're ending, you know, coming into the tailspin here, but we've talked about that because next week we're going to do the Hedge Knight. We were thinking about doing that in two parts, but timeline, that just didn't work. I guess
I'm gonna throw some at you live. I didn't even talk to you about this. I was wondering, do you think we would be better off reading it after season one? Because then we can go through, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll, like the show will be fresh in our minds. We go into the books and be like,
instead of doing like a review beforehand,
yeah,
might be a little spoilery for people.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably do that. So we could do one more chapter.
Yeah, we get one more chapter of Storm of Swords. That way it's not rushed or anything. Cause I know you and I both were super busy over the last few weeks, and not that they take a long time to read.
Let me see what is this? Yes, that'll work because next week is the final Daenerys chapter. So that'll
Beautiful.
Work.
So let's do that. Well, we're going to watch the season with everybody, have our episodes about each episode. And then at the end, we could even do one or two episodes if we wanted to. And then people can send in ravens.
Yeah. I think that's fair. That's a good idea. Yeah. And technically, I think we've covered it multiple times all the way back. That was like the first thing we ever did on this podcast. And then,
but back when
it was, you know, a different name for like 5 weeks. Yeah. And, geez. So anyway, that's a good idea. Okay.
Came up with Second Breakfast? Was that an Ezra thing?
We both kind of did.
Okay.
Because we wanted something, because we were planning on talking about like a lot of different things. And so we're like, well, we want something that's like nerdy, but didn't tie us down to one specific fandom. And then ultimately all of our Game of Thrones stuff just blew up. And so we're like, all right, well, I guess we'll just talk about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that kind of became the staying. That was the staying power.
Oh, 100%
to keep going.
Yeah. So yeah, I had all that going. So yeah, big chapter today, which is the fight, Hound and the Viper. One of the coolest scenes, a top five in the show.
It's pretty unreal how well they capture the scene, I think, in the show, and the tension that you feel in the whole thing, and the blood curling scream. Everything about it is just. You know, give it up to Game of Thrones actresses. They do screams better than anybody else. Like Catelyn, like there's a lot of screaming going on here at the end of this book.
Yeah. Well, how was your holidays, Jimmy? How was your time off?
It was good, man. You know, obviously pretty busy, but overall really nice. I got a couple of days off work. Here's the hack, folks. You don't want to take off while everyone else is taking off at work because those days are easy. What I did this year was take off this week after New Year's. So everyone's coming back. Everyone's trying to figure out where we're doing. I'm like, hey guys, handle that. I'll be back in about a week. And
yeah, you guys figure that out.
That's a great way of spending some vacation time at the end of the year. I'm real big on New Year's. I know some people like don't get it or they think it's cliche, but Matt, there's something about when everyone comes together, maybe not even coming together, but you know that people who are never self-reflecting take a day to kind of think about their year and then what they want to be. And I think it's like the one day ever that people maybe think about being better the next day.
That's true.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a good idea. I will say on the West Coast, New Year's is not really that big of a deal for me. But it was it felt like because it's like 9 o'clock and it's like okay, whatever. And New Year's Eve, I had to sit through and watch my beloved Buckeyes lose to freaking Miami.
That's steamy.
It's okay. You know what? In 2025, I saw them get blown out in the playoffs and win the national championship. Okay, so
there's
that. Hey, my Steelers are looking good.
Made
the playoffs.
Let's not say good. They looked.
They did.
They looked. It was that game was like the most interesting, while also not being the most interesting game ever.
Yeah,
it was kind of fun to watch. Hey, I have a question though. It's kind of relates to Game of Thrones, not really, but yeah, I imagine there's a lot of crossover. Stranger Things, did you watch it all?
I did.
And,
Man, opinions online, I would say, I feel are mostly positive. The people who don't like it are saying it's like the worst
than Game of Thrones.
Not worse than Game of Thrones. They're saying
I've seen that. I have seen some of that,
but I feel like I've seen some people say the worst thing since Game of Thrones. Unfortunately, a lot of the actors and stuff said, man, we really hope we didn't pull a Game of Thrones, which, man, I really hope that just becomes synonymous.
That is forever.
Time. Yeah, you think so? Well, yeah. I don't know. It's always until the next thing, right? Because it was like, oh, Game of Thrones is the new Lost, right?
That's true.
So we just need that next show to come out and kind of smooth over to be like, oh, well, we don't want to be that thing.
Okay. I don't watch Stranger Things. I've given it enough
opportunities. I liked it. I
saw all negative. I saw people just hating it, and immediately went, I bet it's probably really good, and people like it's just the thing to do now.
But. Yeah, I actually thought I actually thought like structurally what happens was pretty good. I felt like the final fight scenes were pretty cool. I will say its problem is that they did a play. And there's a lot of context that you would have to get in order, like from this play, because it's basically like a huge prequel. And I felt like they need to release that or something, because you can't have that. You have to like find like a bootleg copy online to essentially get some more context. Yeah, it's cool that they did it. You know, it would be like if you had to watch this upcoming Robert's Rebellion thing to understand like some of Game of Thrones. I think to really understand it. So I felt like they didn't do that. And then the only other thing I'll really say about the Stranger Things ending without going to spoilers is they kind of had to pull like a Dan and Dave a little bit and say like, well, this happened for this reason. And yeah, this probably happened off screen. And so like they didn't do a good enough job explaining stuff when you actually got to, cause I waited and I binged it all. But when you got to the episode before the finale, cause Netflix like spaced it out, I remember some of my friends who were watching it but weren't spoiling it for me, and they're just like, man, without spoiling it, they were saying there's just not enough time to fix that, to tell everything in the end. And there wasn't. There's just a lot of things that they didn't. Yeah. So ultimately, I still feel like it was good. I'd give it like 4 out of 5 stars. You know, I would say it is probably my least favorite season of the show. But I certainly can't say that it was like a terrible season. I mean, seasons like 1 and 2 for me were like 5 out of 5 stars. I mean, they were freaking some of the best seasons of television I've ever seen. I think it then kind of slowly goes downhill a little bit. But I mean, ultimately, I feel like it ends. It's still, you're still talking like 4 out of 5 stars. Still phenomenal television.
Yeah, you didn't feel like you wasted your time. I just saw the atomic bomb going off everywhere online, and I was like, you know,
I saw that at first, but I still feel like it's pretty positive.
Like, I don't ever even know what to think, because there are just people that just love the. I actually saw a thread of people saying how fun it was. It was more fun. They didn't even care about the show. They just loved watching it and coming to see people dunk on. And I'm like, okay, so now there's like this weird subculture on the internet of watching and hating. And I don't even mean not like just having an opinion. Like, that's what they actively do because they find it fun, which, you know, go off, girl, I guess, whatever. Yeah. Yes, queen. But not for me, man. It's not for me. I feel like the discourse online around TV shows.
Do you think you might watch it now that it's all out?
No, I actually tried. I tried season 1 again. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just don't.
Season one is by far the most different season than the rest of the show.
That's what Kelsey said. She watched. She actually loved season one.
I would encourage you to watch the end of season two. If you don't like it at the end of the season two, then you don't have to watch anymore. But I would say that season one is almost like a dark detective, like conspiracy show. Yeah. And then season two through five is like what Stranger Things is.
Yeah. I also tried Lost finally, and I gotta tell you, man, I didn't like it. I didn't make it through episode two. I turned it off. It's too network TV for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what are we? I'm watching Scrubs right now, trying to get ready because the Scrubs reboot comes out a little bit, and then The Pit comes out this weekend.
Dude, I am beyond excited for The Pit.
Oh yeah.
I also just watched Love and Death, which is it's the young guy from Breaking Bad. He's also in the Fargo TV show. I never remember his name. He's a very distinct looking guy. And then the Olsen, the third Olsen lady that was Fever Witch or Scarlet
Elizabeth
Witch,
Olsen, the
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know anybody's names.
Yeah.
I watched the miniseries Love and Death on HBO.
Oh, with her and Miles Teller? No.
It's that dude.
Miles Teller, where she die, they die, and then.
Well, no. There is no death. It is.
Oh, that's a different shit.
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about the one where she's having an affair with some guy like at a church or something.
Jesse Plemons is the other guy who I love. Dude. This show,
he was in Breaking Bad.
This show is so well acted. Elizabeth Olsen is incredible. I've never seen her in anything. Incredible. Oh, she's incredible actress.
No, I watched her in Eternity, which was that was like the movie that was like all over TikTok and stuff like that. And so I sat down and watched it, and it was great.
Dude, I think the Love and Death show was awesome. It didn't look like it had rave reviews online, but for me, I thought it was amazing. It's all about two people in a church community that decide to have an affair, and it's based on a true story.
I will say I've liked Elizabeth Olsen in everything she's been in, with the exception of the second Doctor Strange movie, Multiverse of Madness. That movie is just awful.
But it's probably not her fault, right?
It's not her fault or Benedict Cumberbatch's fault. It's awful. I would have that movie towards the absolute bottom of the MCU. It's just so stupid.
There's been so many of them, man.
No, there's been a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, anything else, Jimmy, before we dive in here?
No, just
we did a Patreon. We did another one last month. I don't know if we said anything about it, but yeah, there are some more Patreon episodes up.
Yeah, I also wanted to note that we did not get an end of year wrap up post from George, and I saw some people saying it must mean he's writing, and I'm thinking, I don't know, y'all. I am not going to speculate whether he's writing or not, but it is weird that he didn't send his little wrap-up post that he usually does. And I mean, Duncan Egg is coming out soon, and
I'm sure he'll make a post for that.
He has to, right?
Yeah,
he'll at least share the episode.
I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna be really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited, dude.
I love that Warner Brothers keeps telling Paramount to F off. That's pretty great.
Yeah, dude.
Feel really good about that.
That is some good news and a lot of
I would much rather have Netflix in charge, even though they said that they want to limit. Netflix said that when they acquire Warner Brothers, they want to have their theatrical releases in theaters for 17 days and then go straight to streaming. Which is that is just Netflix. Like, I don't understand what it is with Netflix as a company, where it's like the same thing with streaming. They're like, well, we'll just throw like billions of dollars in green light every show imaginable, and then they all flopped, and then stock tanks, and they wonder why. Like, they just have to make these bad decisions to learn that it's a totally stupid idea. If I knew that I could wait, I mean, right now I think the release window of these movies hitting stuff is too soon anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. During COVID, I really liked the direct releases.
It was nice during COVID, yeah.
It was nice. I've actually kind of made a pledge this year. I wasn't really a New Year's resolution. I know I'm thinking about it, but I guess it's New Year's, so we'll just call it that. I'm going to try to go to at least one movie a month and support my local theater, because I don't want to go out of business. They actually just closed one of the ones here, and they're saying the other one's in trouble. And I'm like, you know, I can't go every week.
But I love going to the movie theater.
I'm a movie theater diehard.
I mean, it depends on the movie, but I love going to the movie theater.
Get your popcorn. People get off their phones though.
The one I'm at's pretty good. I have two. I have a small little local owned one, that I have a very good AMC theater down the street.
I was at Oppenheimer and everyone was on their phone, and I'm just like,
yeah, it's not like that at either one of the ones I go to.
Well, good for you, Matt.
Well, I do have to, I always plan it out at the beginning of the year what movies I'm going to go to, and eventually, hopefully, we get a Game of Thrones one. But this year I'm looking at Supergirl and Avengers Doomsday.
Trying to jam in the Avatar so I can watch the third one.
I never saw the second one.
I heard the second one's much better than the first one, by the way. Just saying. Yeah. I just want to see the spectacle in IMAX. I actually don't even care about the story. I just want to see it.
I just want Dennis Villeneuve to finish Dune so we can have him, so the Warner Brothers can pay him an absurd amount of money to come make some Game of Thrones movie. Give us the Doom of Valyria.
Dude.
Here we go. Let's dive into this chapter. Tyrion wakes up in the morning and readies himself to go to trial. He considers admitting guilt or demanding a trial by battle. But he asks his squire if he thinks that Tyrion did it. Podrick hesitates and sputters. Cersei's last witness turns out to be Shay. She accuses Tyrion and Sansa of the murder. She tells the assembled court that she was an innocent girl before Tyrion abused her and turned her into his whore. When Shay lies about Tyrion, made her call him the giant of Lannister, the public starts to laugh. Furious, Tyrion tells them to take Shay away and let him confess. Instead, he demands a trial by battle. As Cersei's champion is the formidable Sir Gregor Clegane, otherwise known as the Mountain, she insists that the judges grant Tyrion's request. Mace Tyrell, one of the judges, asks who will be Tyrion's champion. To the consideration of the court, it is Oberyn Martell, another judge. Tywin is angry but grants Tyrion's request and sets the date for the battle on the next morrow. The next morning, Tyrion is given leave to visit his champion. Oberyn plans to fight with a spear and use only light armor. He specifically warns Tyrion not to touch the weapon. He is full of confidence, but Tyrion is not sure of his choice of the weapon. Oberyn invites Tyrion to go to Dorne after the trial and talks about crowning Marcella. Then he changes the subject to the time he visited Lannisport with his mother and sister. His mother and Tyrion's mother were friends and were planning on marrying Jaime to Elia and or Cersei to Oberyn. When they arrived at Casterly Rock, Joanna had died and Tyrion refused both suggestions and said that Cersei was intended for Prince Rhaegar Targaryen. Later, Elia married Prince Rhaegar. Oberyn thinks this is why Tywin had Elia killed. Oberyn proclaims that today he will have justice for Elia and her children. The combat is held in the Outer Ward. As soon as the fight begins, Oberyn starts to accuse Gregor of Elia's rape and murder. By using a spear as his weapon, Oberyn has the advantage of being able to reach his enemy. And because he is only lightly armored, he is fast enough to remain out of Gregor's reach. Oberyn manages to wound his enemy severely, disarming him and knocking him out of the ground. Before Oberyn can finish the opponent, Gregor grabs Oberyn by the leg and drags him down. With his bare hands, Gregor smashes Oberyn's teeth, crushes his head, and kills him, all while admitting to the murder and rape of Elia and the murder of her children. Tyrion realizes that he is condemned when the gold cloaks take him to the black cells. One of the best moments in both the show and the book. George is fantastic, utterly fantastic at describing action, which we will get into. Another reason why A Storm of Swords is arguably not just the best book in A Song of Ice and Fire, but one of the best fantasy books ever.
Yeah. Dude, most authors pray and hope that they'll get one moment with this type of tension. And George does it 2 to 3 times in this book within 400 pages. It is the masterclass of tension and escalation and delivering on the big moment and still taking it somewhere we didn't think it would go. How many times have we thought at this point Tyrion might get saved from this trial, you know, on a first read?
Mm-hmm.
And now he is literally lost. And you're like, oh, we're about to lose Tyrion. And then the way he is saved in the coming chapters is insane and even more dramatic. Like, it's just such a one-upping of himself. And I think to be able to kind of continuously up the ante without it getting old, while also being someone who doesn't really plan out his books, like he kind of discovers them, that's amazing. I think it's a really incredible thing. And Nat, one of the things I came away with this chapter is we talked about whether or not Tywin actually intended, like, was he telling the truth? And he said, I'm going to send you to the wall. And we talked back and forth about it. And I was pretty sure I felt like Tywin was definitely going to kill Tyrion. After reading this again, I'm like, yeah, he was 100% going to, because there's no doubt in my mind Shay was coached by Tywin
100%.
For this trial. And you don't give that testimony with the intention of keeping this person alive. Like, he's annoyed about the, you know, Battle of Champions. Like, he's like, oh, great. You know, he I think he wanted to cut dry. I think Tywin's a worse person than we even realize. I think he's just a total bag of shit.
Well, he's making maneuvers. He's playing the game. He's playing the Game of Thrones. And now that Jaime is back, because if you think about it, he only keeps Tyrion around long enough for Jaime to come back. That's once Jaime comes back is when everything changes.
That's Mail where. Air. Yeah,
exactly. That's when. Yeah. And you know, at this time, remember, Joffrey has also dismissed somebody from the Kingsguard at this point.
Yeah.
Joffrey has already created the precedent to say, well, you're kicked out of the Kingsguard. And that was being kicked out. Now you could, in theory, have somebody say, I'm resigning or I'm retiring.
Yeah. And
in an honorable way.
Yeah. And he could be the regent. I think Tywin actually says he'll be the regent until Tommen becomes of age, but he could have Jaime technically be the regent because he'd be steering all the decisions from behind anyways. And that would probably be a pretty good reason to get him out of the Kingsguard. But we also know that Jaime told his dad that's not what he wants. And Tywin, I think in that moment, you know, you're no son of mine. You know,
who do you think Tywin would want to marry Jaime to?
Let me think about this. Well, he doesn't need Highgarden, right?
No,
it wouldn't be Margaery.
That would be Margaery would be marrying before Margaery would be marrying Joffrey, and then Tommen.
If she was still there, Sansa, but already married to Tyrion, that wedding's not technically void in the eyes of the people who were there.
Well,
question.
Maybe Sansa would be ultimately who he starts thinking of, because at this point,
well, she's gone. They think he killed Joffrey, so there's no way.
Right, but he was clearly planning on doing something. He was probably planning on getting rid of Tyrion before all this happened, in one way or another.
Yeah, probably.
Or do you think it all came right once Joffrey goes?
I think once Joffrey goes, Sansa's off the table. And I will say, I don't know. Do you think that they would marry, you know, they think they have Arya Stark, right? Jane Poole.
Not yet.
Well, oh yeah, you're right. They don't know that.
Not at this moment.
Okay, that's the thing. Jaime with Arya. It's gross, obviously, but Lysa Tully?
No, there's no way. There's no way he would make him do that.
and I was going to say Dorne maybe, but I think.
But obviously he talks about Cersei marrying, what's his name before he's in the Kingsguard.
Yes,
Loras Tyrell.
Yeah. Maybe he would do Margaery.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, that's kind of interesting to think.
Wait, now that I'm thinking about it, wait, in that chapter, didn't Tywin say that? And then Jaime was like, I am not going to.
Yes, you're right. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like there were other ones to play, and that was the pitch. That's right. Okay. So I guess it probably would be the Tyrells. I guess they just really want to shore up.
Yeah, it's just like Tyrion's trial, and then they say, okay, well now, and then Tywin dies, and that's all the...
Right.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, still kind of interesting to think about, man, what the where the alliances would be drawn.
There's like not a lot of houses in good... I mean, there's people rising, right? Like the Boltons and the Freys, but...
Dorne's still kind of off the table, and Marcella's already down there.
Yeah, that whole thing...
Which is interesting in this chapter too. You know, Oberyn does suggest that, well, after this is over, we should go to Highgarden so we can secure that and get that going. So clearly, that I think that's like, I mean, a lot of that Dorne angle we just never got in the show, so we don't have any idea. But I mean, Tyrion sends her down there and says, hey, we should ship her off to Dorne and start making that alliance happen.
And I have a question. Do you think Dorne Martell is the one steering these Oberyn? Things?
Yeah,
Oberyn, and saying, hey, go get Highgarden on the way home?
Yeah.
Probably. Because Dorne's obviously has his own plan that just keeps getting messed up by his dunce kids. Actually, not totally unlike Tywin in some ways. His kids just keep getting in his way.
Yeah, well, he's not as ruthless as Tywin. He's much more of a schemer, not as good of a schemer.
No, he seems like a good guy. He's having trouble containing the rage of, you know, the injustice that was done to Ilya. So,
yeah. Okay, let me read up some of the real quick. Just other big thoughts before we start diving into some specifics.
Chase so much, dude. Yeah. I don't know. You know, there is an argument.
This almost should have been two chapters because there's two like very big events.
So much, dude.
Yeah,
so much. George just said, "Hey, here's a haymaker for you." Yeah, I guess you could make the argument that like maybe Shay didn't really want to betray him. Like maybe she did feel sincere about it the whole time, but she's being forced to make this testimony, and then maybe even forced to sleep with Tywin.
Oh, 100%. Shay's in a bad spot.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't really ever know.
We don't really think, because we think of her as this like terrible human being, but
yeah, I was mad this whole chapter at her. I was like, I hate
right. But I mean, from
if you think about it more,
from her point of view and her perspective, that's the crazy thing is we don't know, because we've talked about for years. Was she planted there by Tywin to say, hey, I'm going to go get a prostitute who is a test for Tyrion, because Tyrion's going to have this army. He brings this mountain clan. They help out. All this stuff's going on. He's going to go serve. And I specifically said, don't take your whore. So it makes you wonder, like, has she been with Tywin this whole time? Maybe.
I did say this. I said, what was it?
And that makes it even more crazy, because clearly he's like, I mean, he's sleeping with her. So were they like an item beforehand? Or
I think so.
And he's like, yeah, you're probably going to sleep with my son too. Like, that's even more weird.
My hunch is, and I said this when we read the chapter, one of the chapters a while back, is like, I think the attitude she has when Sansa enters the picture, she's obviously very upset. And then it's like very quickly after that, she kind of turns back to Shay. Being happy-go-lucky, Giant of Lannister stuff. And it's also around the time Varys is like popping up a lot. So I've always been of the mind that Varys is scheming, definitely scheming the Lannisters against the Lannisters this entire time based on his end goals that he wants with Illyrio. So I think that it's very likely that Shay and Tywin may have been fooling around prior to the trial. I don't know if prior to meeting Tyrion. I'm unsure about that, but I think Varys had something to do with it.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll even hear about it possibly in like future books, because we will have to at some point have Varys do another monologue like he did with Kevin Lannister whenever.
Speaking of Kevin Lannister, there's a little bit in this chapter I want to pull up. So it's when Tyrion is in jail and he's like singing a song and waiting. And Sir Kevin did not visit him that night. He was probably with Lord Tywin trying to placate the Tyrells. I have seen the last of that uncle, I fear, as he pours another cup of wine. A pity he'd had Simon Silvertongue killed before learning all the words of the song he was singing. It wasn't a bad song, if the truth be told, especially compared for the ones that have been written about him henceforth. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. Which is kind of interesting, because his hands will be wrapped around a woman
and hers will go cold, right?
Yes. He should write other verses himself if he lived that long. And then but yeah, kind of interesting there. He says, that's the last I've seen of that uncle, which is the last he will ever see of his uncle, because Tyrion goes in another direction, obviously, and then Kevin Lannister's killed.
Yeah, Kevin Lannister dying is still one of the times where I think George might regret that. I think the Kevin Lannister one is just a really underutilized character, even though he shows up a lot more than you would think. But also, maybe some of the Sept stuff is going to be a little bit harder, or the Fae stuff, rather. Yeah. It would be a little bit harder without him. But anyways, I love Tyrion's attitude there. Oh, won't see my uncle ever again. Just so matter of factly. I just love Tyrion.
Real quick, I want to look up something kind of nerdy here. Okay. So technically, because I feel like I've seen people make this like argument, is later he's talking, Tyrion's talking to Oberyn. So this is as you're kind of in the middle before the battle. And he's like, you're going to fight him with a spear? Right? That made Tyrion uneasy all over again. And then Oberyn talks about, we're fond of spears in Dorne. Besides, it's the best way to counter his reach. Have a look, Lord Imp. But do you see, do not touch. The spear was turned ash 8 feet long, a shaft smooth, thick, and heavy. The last 2 feet of that was steel, a slender leaf-shaped spearhead narrowing to a wicked spike. The edges looked sharp enough to shave with. When Oberyn spun the haft between the palms of his hand, it glistened black. Oil or poison? Tyrion decided that he would sooner not know. I hope you're good with that, he said doubtfully. You will have no cause for complaint, though Sir Gregor may. And I've just heard some people make the argument, isn't it technically a partisan as opposed to a spear?
Oh my god.
And George, you know,
that for that.
I mean, come on, man. I don't know enough about medieval weaponry to know the difference.
Somebody out there will tell us, I promise.
I'm sure. I think I've ever seen a video where somebody, like back in the day, where somebody was talking about that, like, oh no, dude, it's a partisan, it's not a spear. And when you look at it, I mean, technically, I did Google this, of course, the AI thing that comes up, unfortunately. Spear is a general term for a pole arm with a simple point, while a partisan is a specific, elaborate type of spear pole arm with a long, broad, sword-like blade with often side wings or protrusions for parrying and hooking.
Okay. I'm gonna stay neutral on this one.
So I think it should be a partisan.
It might be. So does the poison matter? Does that change it?
Well, the poison, I don't know, but it's just kind of interesting, you know, because George clearly would know. So he calls it a spear, but he also calls wyverns dragons. So
he also messes up ringmail, the way ringmail works. Apparently, he's right. Not very accurate on, but whatever. We'll give him a pass.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then, you know, that's certainly pretty cool as we're talking about that, like in the poison that's on the spear. I mean, clearly you'd go into this knowing there's poison on it. And the show, I don't think it's kind of like hinted at. You see him like wiping the blade, but they definitely don't really, like, this is like pretty heavily implied that, oh, he's going in with poison.
Yeah, and I think it's supposed to give us a bit of a feeling as if, oh, this is how Tyrion gets saved.
Yeah.
Like, as the reader, you're like, there's no way Tyrion dies. And you're like, okay, I know where this is going. Nope. No, you don't.
Yeah. Interesting, though, that the poison doesn't act much faster when we just saw Joffrey poisoned by something that killed him like almost instantly.
That's a good point. I don't think that Oberyn wanted it to be fast.
Man.
I think he wanted to send a message.
He wanted to be able to get him down to where he's like, feels like he's dying.
Yeah, wants him to suffer as much as possible, yeah. I think. Unfortunately for him, he should have went the quick way. Definitely should have used the quick poison.
I mean, in the show, the way the fight goes down is he kind of does. I mean, he still gets him on the ground and like jumps and, you know, spears him, and he thinks he's dead. I mean, dude. To his credit, I mean, he legitimately in the show, he does. I mean, it does seem like the guy's dead, you know, dude,
when he pops his head. It's so crazy.
Especially when Tyrion's like, do you think you should wear a helmet? Nah, I'm good.
Damn it. Oberyn is such a great character for how short of a time he's with
in
us.
Both. I think in the show, it's like under like, it's, I think it's like maybe just over 30 minutes with most of it being the fight.
And he's in a brothel.
Right. Which is like kind of like an extra scene of him and Tywin. Another great scene that wasn't in the,
really good.
Let's see. Screen time of Oberyn Martell. Yeah. About 30 minutes.
Did well for him. I mean, I don't think that's the only reason why he got every single role in Hollywood for the last 10 years, but it definitely didn't hurt.
No, phenomenal. I mean, I like Pedro Pascal himself in everything that I've seen him in. I don't think I've ever seen him. Saying that the movies that he's been in have been great.
Right.
I mean, Wonder Woman 1984, but I can't put that on him.
Yeah, I've liked him everything I've seen. It's not like when I see him in something, I'm like, I must watch. But if he's in something, I'm always like, oh, cool. I do that with every Game of Thrones actor, though.
Yeah. Okay, so the fight goes pretty much like it does in the show. Again, George is just phenomenal at writing action. I'll just pull up a little bit here. So, like, Prince Oberyn tilted his dinted metal shield. A shaft of sunlight blazed blindingly off polished gold and copper into the narrow slit of his foe's helm. Clegane lifted his own shield against the glare. Prince Oberyn's spear flashed like lightning and found a gap in the heavy plate, the joint under the arm. The point punched through the mail and boiled leather. Gregor gave a choked grunt as the Dornishman twisted his spear and yanked it free. Elia, say it. Elia of Dorne. He was circling, spear poised for another thrust. Say it. Tyrion had his own prayer. Fall down and die was how it went. Damn you, fall down and die. The blood trickling from the mountain's armpit was his own now, and he must be bleeding even more heavily inside the breastplate. When he tried to take a step, one knee buckled. Tyrion thought he was going down. Prince Oberyn had circled behind him. Elia of Dorne, he shouted. Sir Gregor started to turn, but too slow, too late. The spearhead went through the back of the knee this time, through the layers of chain and leather between the plates on the thighs and calf. So, you know, I mean, still, I think he does go into it with like a pretty legitimate battle plan. Is all right, this is a big, heavy dude. I need to hit his joints, get him down. And I mean,
yeah,
he's just like almost this supernatural man. Then he is actually a supernatural man.
Yeah. And sometimes you have the right game plan, you play a perfect game, and you still lose.
Yeah. Yeah, Clegane's hand shot up and grabbed the Dornishman behind the knee. The Red Viper brought down the great sword in a wild slash, but he was off balance. Man. And then Elia of Dorne, they all heard Sir Gregor say when he was close enough, they would kiss. I killed her screaming, then I raped her, smashed her head in. Oh,
jeez,
it's so bad. It's like, man, this and Red Wedding are just so, God,
it's tough, brutal, to watch. Dude. It's not cheery at all.
Yeah.
The mountain reminds me of a young Ez.
What? Not at all. Not at all.
We love you, Ez.
I know. It's he was halfway down the Serpentine. Let's see. Okay. So, yeah, the last little bit here. So, man, it literally goes like so he's killed. Right, this whole thing, and then like it's so quickly. He never heard his father speak the words that condemned him. Perhaps no words were necessary. I put my life in the Red Viper's hands, and he dropped it. When he remembered too late, the snakes had no heads. Tyrion began to laugh hysterically. He was halfway down the Serpentine steps before he realized the gold cloaks were not taking him back to his tower room. It had been consigned to the black cells. He said they did not bother to answer. Why waste your breath on the dead? I mean, literally, it's like
dead to rights.
It's just so crazy how this all happens, because I mean there is no in between, right? It's just like he is killed, right? And then immediately Tyrion is just like, you get this, like, it's one of those fields where it just happens so fast, and Tyrion's all right, he's already being marched down the black cells.
Yeah, pretty surreal for him. I mean, anyone that's ever had like anything traumatic happen, it's almost like it's happening in slow motion and fast forward all at once. I imagine that's how Tyrion felt. What if DraftKings did a commercial and they have Tyrion and they're like, you know, I put my life in Red Viper's hand and it let me down, but you know what won't let you down? A parlay with the Steelers winning with, you know what I mean? Like, I could just, like, when you
read parlay with the Steelers will let you down. Okay.
Well, probably, it is the wild card round, but I just thought, I don't know, when you said he had it, my life in his hand, he dropped it, I just kept thinking about how many people get mad about parlays.
Yeah, man. Okay, Jimmy, your final thoughts here on this chapter.
It's a huge one. I think the one I always look forward to most out of this sequence, I love the trial. I think it's obviously very tense.
I think the trial's better in the show.
I don't know.
I feel like it all just kind of happens so fast, and unfortunately part of the trial is also the trial in the chapters feels like an afterthought, because it's like big events are happening as it's going on, whereas the show, the trial feels much more dedicated.
Yeah, in that, you know, we always talk about how much you can't do on TV and books can because of budgets or restraints or whatever it might be. This is a pretty good example of where a TV show can kind of take focus on something that is maybe happening alongside of something in parallel. Mm-hmm. You really get to focus on. And honestly, Matt, think about this. I mean, that's the benefit of the TV show when it comes to the Red Wedding and the trial. They each have their own season.
Yeah. What do you think, too, about trial by battle versus trial by combat?
Eh, whatever.
Trial by combat sounds way cooler.
I think I just have heard trial by combat elsewhere as well, so maybe that's why I think of that. But trial by battle, it's whatever.
Yeah, I think it's better. Yeah, the show's... It's also Peter Dinklage just, like, absolutely freaking, like... slamming a home run on arguably one of the coolest, best scenes. I mean, it's up there for me as like top five. I mean, if you're just talking scenes of the show, I mean, it's right there next to Daenerys getting the Unsullied, the Jon Snow King in the North, which I think is the best scene in the entire show. I think they're all right up there. And then, I mean, you can say what you want. I like whether it went down the way it shouldn't or not. I think the last little bit of the battle at Winterfell is should it have happened that way? Maybe, maybe not. But just like cinematically, it's freaking sick.
Oh, I
it's so good. Like it's good. It's a amazing piece of
they that. Got me.
Oh, dude, I go back and watch it every now and then. It's like, should it have been Arya? Should have been all that stuff? No, but still, it is still like a real, it's shot extremely well. It's so cool.
Yeah, they executed it well.
The soundtrack is freaking...
it's so peak, good, dude.
But yeah.
We're almost due for a full rewatch. We keep saying it, but eventually we're going to have to do it.
Yeah, what's that next epic moment going to be? Are we going to get anything like that in Dunkin' Egg? I mean,
not in Dunkin' Egg.
The trailers you've seen. I mean, Battle of the God's Eye.
Yeah, that as I said, House of the Dragon. I actually think House of the Dragon. I know, you know me. I've been very upset with just how polarized it became in season two, and just how people,
right,
you know, refuse to let things be good and bad at the same time, or look at external factors about why the show might have struggled towards the end. So, I gotta tell you, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I think season three could get a lot of people back.
I think it could be big. I agree,
but yeah, maybe not the dedicated online crowd, but they're only a small fraction of the viewership when it really comes down to it. So yeah, man.
Okay, well, let's think about this just before we make our decision. Would it be better to do Hedge Knight next week or after?
I honestly feel like afterwards is kind of cool because there are going to be people who are going to watch the show for the first time and then are looking for podcasts. Book
versus show.
Yeah. Oh, I want to read these books. I bet there's a read along podcast. I just think it's a little more inclusive if we do it after.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I guess we'll probably do like books versus show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the fun thing. I mean, we get to talk about the book. We get to compare it to the show. What did we like that they changed? Did we like the changes?
Okay,
I mean, there's going to be a lot there. Brand new listeners are going to be listening to the show. Exactly. So I think that they'll feel like they're included. Right?
Do you happen to have the graphic novel of it? Because I would like to cover that as well.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to just because I've never specifically covered the graphic novel of it, and we could maybe do that like the following week or something, because we'll have a little bit of, you know, fluff where we need to talk where we talk about it.
Yeah, we'll have ravens and such comments. Yep.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, then next week we will be in A Storm of Swords, chapter 71, Daenerys 6, which is her final chapter of Storm of Swords.
And we will finish Storm of Swords in the next 6 to 9 year. Months.
Yeah. We're getting close. Somebody did say, by the way, just I want to get this out there. Somebody, I have started getting some messages of people saying like, hey, do you guys know where is that going to be posted anywhere? And I think of like the reading order, since there's multiple versions and stuff like that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely post it to like the YouTube, like community page, which I used to do polls and stuff. And I probably will do some for House that, for that, okay. But I'll post it there when that time comes, as well as on the Facebook page and Maybe we can figure out if we can post it on our website. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe actually. Yeah.
For real this time. But hey, folks, if you like our podcast, we obviously have some really cool stuff coming up. It'd be awesome if you could subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheneepodcast.com.
Yes, and if you want to support the show, you can always do so by checking out our exclusive extra shows on Patreon or Apple Premium. And Jimmy and I did just drop we just recorded one today. So yep. With that, we will see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.